Bella was supposed to sing that. I don't see her in here. Anybody would have a special on their heart, just kind of raise your hand here in a little while. Would certainly like to have a special for sure. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand and cross of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help do the best I can. Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption song someday. As I onward go and daily need to flow, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, that I may reach that golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I may depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through Jesus, hold my hand. Amen.
Amen.
Lord. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Amen. Amen. Isn't that true? The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world o'er, but you will be just as before. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you up the offering this evening. Amen. Appreciate having the opportunity for him to be here in the evening time. Amen. Typically we work during the week at 9. Amen. Bless you.
Father God, it is a privilege here to have the opportunity to come and worship you in the middle of the week, Lord. Pray, Father Lord, that as always you'll be merciful to us, forgive us our sins, our trespasses. But most of all, Lord, use your servant in a special way, Lord, to mold us and shape us to that image you want, Lord, Father. I pray that you will bless Brother Bob. I pray that you will bless the tithes and offering, all those that could give, all those that cannot give, Lord. May it be used for the furtherance of your ministry, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing "I Want to Live" the way he wants me to live this evening. Amen. I want to live the way
say
salvation so cool and free.
Anybody have a special they got on their heart? Amen. Esther's got something going to think. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a wonderful blessing. Amen. Sister Audrey, enjoy this.
God bless y'all tonight.
She put that off on you.
Amen.
As I journey here throughout the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, Him I must win. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Yes, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Now when before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Yes, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Yes, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory,
let's all stand. My boy, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Don't you want to see Him tonight? His word. Amen. Amen. Glory. Amen. Be in prayer for coming up weekend and the meetings and everybody traveling, Brother Wade and him coming back. Saw where he got him a doe a while ago, so he'll be bringing back some meat maybe. Amen. Let's change over the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted above, shining in the
good to be with you all this evening, and hope you had a good little holiday break and good little time with your family and all of those things. I'm going to just speak to you a little, a little Christmas message after Christmas, and just take a little topic from Luke chapter 2. So if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, and just take a topic, the message of an angel to shepherds. And, of course, remember Brother Luis is down there at the airport trying to pick up Brother Eric. We just saw the message that he's Brother Eric got held over in Miami, and he's missed his flight, and he's trying to make his way over to Atlanta. So remember them. Remember that situation. And, of course, Brother Wade's up in Illinois, and just pray that he'll be blessed. And I think Brother Ryan already mentioned, just reminder to everybody, bring your snacks and desserts and things for Saturday night and on watch night. So those are the things to remember. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together tonight, Lord, while our precious believers, Lord Jesus, that are gathered together with all their little licks of fire gathering together here in one place according to your word. And Lord, we're just maybe just almost on the cusp of another year, Lord. And I pray, God, that as we prepare, Lord, to step over into the other year, into this next year, Lord, that, Lord, you'll just set our hearts right, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want this coming year, Lord, to be more consecrated and more dedicated to you than ever, Lord, to just lay myself down on the altar of sacrifice, Lord, just give everything I can to you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that's every believer's heart here tonight, Lord Jesus, to give themselves more to you, to be more consecrated to you, to more be more dedicated to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just, Lord, just change us a little bit more, Lord, that we'll be just lay under the fountain of your word a little bit more next year, Lord, and you'll just make it mean so much more to us, Lord. We ask this blessing now in your word. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, it's kind of a long reading. We'll read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And if you want to go listen to another good sermon, that Why Little Bethlehem would be a good sermon to listen to find out why it had to be Bethlehem. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Aren't you glad for that promise tonight? Anybody can have access. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, what an interesting story that is. Thank God that it was laid out for us in such detail that we can read all these things about how that the God that created the world, that created, that spoke to Moses and manifested in the pillar of fire and led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage and all those things. All of that was bundled up in a little baby there laying in the manger. All of the things that unknowable God that they could just kind of probe at, that here and there they'd get a little glimpse of, that Joshua would see a man with a sword drawn in his hand, and Moses would get a glimpse of the backside of a man as he passed by. But now he was all bundled up, packaged up in that little baby, the essence of the fullness of God there in that little baby, behind skin, where you could go and you could hold him and he'd cry and you could touch him, and the fullness of God dwelled in that little baby. And they're out in the field. There was a bunch of little shepherds. You'd say a bunch of nobodies. And isn't it strange that God would bypass all of the, you know, all the Pharisees and the ones that had been trained up to know, to be able to recognize that the Messiah was coming, to be looking for him. And God would bypass all of that and go straight to just a little humble little shepherd, a little group of shepherds out there in the field with, getting dirty. All the shepherds with all the sheep with all the dirt, and maybe there was a sheep that had to be maybe had a baby that had to be a little lamb that had to be delivered that night, and they maybe got a little bit messy and things, because that's how shepherds are. Shepherds are lowly. Shepherds are just the meekest. Isn't it strange? Now, Brother Brown's typing shepherds with ministers here. And isn't it strange sometimes how the world will hate a shepherd? And isn't it strange sometimes how people just, they don't like shepherds so much. It makes me wonder sometimes what is going on. How that just in your natural ability, your humanity, you just, something grates on people sometimes where I just don't like that. Well, you know what? That's what the Pharisees, the world system, they might have looked down at the shepherds too and been like, why, look at those shepherds. They're so dirty and so nasty, and nobody would ever pay any mind to them, but God did. And God came down and an angel. That's why I'm titling it The Message of an Angel to Shepherds. Those shepherds were preaching what the angel told them. Now, isn't that the same thing that's happening in this day? The shepherds have got a vision that an angel come and told them straight from heaven, an angel, a messenger. An angel, that's what a messenger is. A messenger is an angel. Or an angel was a messenger, and they got wind. They got told by that angel where that they could find God wrapped up and veiled up and bundled up in flesh, where they could actually go and see him and look at him. And all they wanted to do, once they heard the angels singing and the angels' message, they were just consumed with a great desire. I got to go see this for myself. And they ran and went to Bethlehem, and they searched and found out
out where that little baby was, and they found it, and they saw him, and they saw that the thing that had been prophesied all down through the ages, that now it was laying there, and they could see it with their own eyes. Now, isn't that how the gospel is? When you can see it for your own eyes, maybe one day you heard about it from a little street corner, a little mission somewhere, or maybe you heard about it from somebody, some little humble shepherd that the world wouldn't even give nothing to, and you heard it preached for yourself, and you said, I got to go find out whether this is really true or not. Something grabbed a hold of your heart and pulled you, drew you to himself, and you had to go see whether this thing was really true or not. And when you saw that it was true, you had to go tell somebody else. Now, that's what these shepherds did. They had to go into the city and tell everybody, I know where the Messiah is. Oh, isn't that your confession tonight? When you first heard about the message of the hour, when you first heard that these things were true, that God could actually heal, that God could do these things, that signs and wonders were being done, that the blinded eyes were opened, that the mysteries that have been sealed up for ages now were revealed and accessible to us. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. A little group of lowly nobodies that an angel from heaven came and told them where that they could find that little baby laying in a manger. And Brother Brown will say, why was this great event revealed to shepherds? Why was it revealed to shepherds and not to the theologians of that day? They were the one who trained to hear it. And why did it come and bypass the rich and come to the poor? Why did it bypass the learned and wise and come to the humble and unlearned? To unlearned, untrained, uncultured, the poorest of all looked like the most unfit person for such a task. Now, isn't that what God does? It's so strange that he'll bypass people that have been trained their whole life to study out the Bible and study out all these things. But he'll bypass all of that and reveal it to you. A little nobody. He'll reveal it to somebody that don't know nothing about nothing. All they know is the world. All you maybe knew about was how to drink a good Coors or drink a Bud Light or something. That's all you knew. All you knew how to do was smoke a vape or smoke a cigarette or something or go to some beer pub. You didn't know nothing about nothing. Or maybe you grew up in the message, but you still didn't know nothing about nothing. You grew up in a message church or grew up around message people, but you didn't want it. You didn't want it until God called you and pulled in your heart, and something began to move and stir, and it wasn't a man that did it. It was God began to draw you. Just like those shepherds heard straight from heaven. Those shepherds heard from God himself. Why was it revealed to shepherds and not to the theologians of that day? They were the one were trained to hear it. And Brother Brown will say, isn't it strange that it's the lowly, the humble, the poor that will receive it before the heady and the high-minded? Isn't that strange that God wants a little sheep to hear it? That God wants to get somebody that just ain't nothing. He said a humble heart God loves. If you don't know your ABCs, that don't make any difference. Just a humble heart. God dwells in a humble heart, not in education. It's not in schools, not in theology, seminaries, not in all these other different places, not in big words or not in classical places. God dwells in human hearts. And the lower you can break yourself down, the more simple you can become, greater in the sight of God. Now, that seems contrary to the way that we think sometimes. We think maybe the devil's got you convinced that you got to be a real smart, real good intellect, somebody that knows all, that's got a PhD in the things of this world to be able to understand this message. But all God needs is just a humble heart. Somebody that'll just open themselves up to this word. Somebody that will turn off the TV and turn off Facebook and turn off the social media and just get and lay in the word and let God have his way with you. That's all God needs. God is just looking for somebody that he can get a hold of, that somebody who just humble themselves to the word. And you know what real humility is? I think we get tripped up with what real humility is sometimes. Humility is just knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses and not being overly lifted up and so many times we get lifted up with this false humility. Well, I don't know if I'm a really good singer or not. Oh, come on now. I don't know. See, God don't want none of that false humility. I don't know if I'm really called to preach. Oh, if you're called to preach, he wants you to be confident in it. Lack of confidence is not humility. God wants you to know if you're called to sing, if God has put you with a gift where you can bring the presence of the Lord because you can sing, if you got a real gift, then you might as well own it and say, that's what I'm put here on earth for. If you're called to preach, you might as well be confident in it and know that God put you on this earth to be a blessing to other people, and God give you a gift to be able to speak his word. You might as well be confident in it. God don't want somebody that'll draw back and some little sissified. He wants somebody that'll be bold and preach it if it's got to be preached, and sing it so somebody can receive a blessing. That's false humility when you say, well, I don't know. God wants somebody that's sure if they're born again or not. Not just go around and say, well, I don't know. I might be. He wants you to know whether you're adopted or not. To know whether you're born again. To know whether you got it. Because you're going to have to know whether you got it if you're going to take a body change. God ain't going to have a bride that don't know whether she's this or whether she's that that's going to step over into eternity. He's not going to have somebody with some false humility, but he's going to have somebody confident in what they are and who they are and what kind of a word they've heard and what it's done in their life. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit, that's real humility. To be able to receive something like a real little sheep. To be able to sit down and listen to what somebody else has got to say. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. This is the thing. These are the attributes of the kind of person that God can do something with. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters, tonight. I'm still hungering and thirsting for righteousness after all these years. I want to keep getting filled. That's my prayer and my desire as we step over into the other year. I still want more of God. I want more. I want all I can get. I want more and more. The more I can get, I believe the more that God will fill us up with it. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now this is the cream of the crop. Somebody that's poor and meek and ain't got nothing, but all they need, they know that if they can just get a hold of God, that's all they want. That's the kind of person that God can do something with. So this afternoon, I just want to encourage you that if you're poor and you're unlearned and the devil's got you all beat down and your body's all beaten up by life and you're weary and you're mourning, if I got good news for you, that this is the type, you're the type that this gospel was sent for. That's the kind of person that God can do something with. There's somebody that's poor and meek and lowly, that like a little sheep. God, tell me where the green grass is, and I'll eat it up. Lead me to the water, and I'll drink it up. Tell me where I can get it, and I'll go get it. Aren't you glad that the true gospel message wasn't meant to just make you feel stupid or to put you down or make you feel bad for just taking God at his word, but it was sent to an humble, open heart. That is what God is looking for, somebody that'll just receive him like a sheep, just a little sheep. You can, like Monica would tell us, when they were growing up, they'd kill little lambs to eat, you know, and the little sheep, they wouldn't cry out, because it's not their nature to cry out. It's not their nature to complain. It's just their nature to just eat and keep pushing out that wool. It's not their nature to be anything else but gentle. Just a gentle, sociable creature. And that's why sheep, you gotta come together. Bring in your little licks of fire together. Sheep, you gotta be with other sheep. Oh, that's so terrible to see what the devil will do. We'll just isolate people and get that little sheep off to themselves, and here comes a wolf to go put something weird in their mind, put some thought in their mind. As soon as that little sheep goes off to itself, it starts thinking, well, everybody hates me, and I can't trust in those shepherds, and nobody really lives the right way, and nobody really does this and that. Oh, you got to get together. Sheep are meant to be together. You start getting together and things begin to change. You're meant to be together. Sheep are dependent. They got to have that shepherd. And that's why when you see that shepherd, that sheep begin to go away from the flock, a real true shepherd will go running after that sheep and say, come on back. Come on back to church. Don't you miss fellowshipping with the other believers. Don't you miss being around with other saints of God. Don't you miss, because a sheep's got to follow leadership. A sheep's got to be led. And what's the point of this message that Brother Branham was laying out there and why it had to be shepherds? Is we're being led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're being led by the Holy Ghost. Now, what a strange, isn't that strange that God would put men to lead a group of people, but it's actually not men. If they really will yield themselves and yield themselves so that God can speak a word to them of encouragement and something that'll help, it won't put complexes on people. If it's really God, it won't put you into a place where it's binding you up, but it'll actually liberate you if it's really the Holy Ghost speaking through the men. But what a strange thing that he puts men, but it's not men. Men preaching a word, but it's not men. Sheep, what else are sheep going to be? Vulnerable. They won't be competitive. They won't be competing with everybody. Why? Because they're just trusting in the shepherd. Trusting in the shepherd to lead them where that grass is. They're not going to be pushing one another out of the way. This spot of grass is mine. There's plenty. There's plenty for all. I don't have to compete with the next person over who's got the nicest car or who's got the nicest this. But we're just trusting in our shepherd. Now, I think that's real faith is. Real faith is when you trust in your shepherd. Not the man that's standing behind the pulpit, but we're trusting in God. Trusting in God to lead us from pasture to pasture. Lead us from grassy spot to grassy spot. Lead us because we've got a promise that the Spirit of truth will lead and guide us into all truth. So we're not following a man. We're following the Holy Ghost that's moving through men, that's preaching to us a word that came not from man, but straight from heaven, straight from an angel's message, an angel that come to us to deliver us a message straight from the throne of God. Right. That will change our hearts and change our lives and change our thinking to be just like him. Amen. Why did the angels go to shepherds to bring the message? Brother Bram said, if the Messiah was born in the shadow of the cathedral, why did they have to go plumb back up into the mountains to a bunch of unlearned, untrained shepherds to bring the great message, the first message, and commission shepherds? Not the wise and trained, but shepherds. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Look like the most unfit people for such a task, to reveal the message and send them out to bring the message. He would be more able to get his message to an unlearned group so that he would be to a mixed up group that was so set in their ways that nothing could turn them, not even the word of God. Now that's why it's got to be shepherds. Shepherds are like sheep. Shepherds, Brother Brown will say, shepherds smell, you got to smell, a real true shepherd is going to smell like sheep because he gets in amongst the sheep. And really, this is kind of a hard thing to imagine in your head, but a shepherd is really a sheep too. A sheep, they're all sheep, and the shepherd, God designates certain men to be leaders of the others. And the reason that he can get a hold of these men and anybody that fits under the umbrella of being a sheep is because they're willing to learn. Right. Willing to learn. He will be more able to get his message to an unlearned group than he would be to a mixed up group that was so set in their ways. Oh, Lord, I don't ever want to be so set in my ways that I can't be moved by the Holy Spirit moving in the congregation, the Holy Spirit moving. People get so hard-hearted and so set. Well, I know this is right, and nobody's going to tell me different. I know the way that I see it is right, and you're not going to tell me nothing else. That's the kind of person that God can't do nothing with. Always be, that's true humility. Always be willing to just sit and listen to what the other person says. Because even when somebody's wrong, sometimes you can get just a little glimmer of some truth. Or maybe they can reflect back to you an aspect of yourself that you haven't seen before. Always be willing to be humble and listen to what somebody else says. The Messiah was here, and there must be somebody to recognize it. And Brother Brown will say the shepherd was the most illiterate of anybody. He didn't need to know nothing but just about his sheep. He didn't need to know mathematics. He didn't need to know how to split an atom. He didn't need no scholarship. He just had to know his sheep. That's all he needed to know. Oh, no. Get tangled up here again. All right. He just had to know his sheep. Shepherd, that's all he had to know, is just his sheep. He didn't need to know how smart anybody was or all the things of science. All he needed to know was about his sheep. Now, what would a shepherd need to know about sheep? Well, first of all, he'd need to know how to call sheep. Because the sheep, now, a real true gospel sheep, isn't this interesting now? A real true gospel sheep is going to be able to recognize the voice of a shepherd. A sheep, my sheep know my voice, is what Jesus said. So they're going to be able to know, recognize when God is calling them. Now, that's how you call sheep. As you preach the real, true, unadulterated word of God, and the sheep are going to respond. A shepherd's going to know what's going to help the sheep. They're going to be able to know, well, if I take them to this green grass over there, then that's going to be a help to them. But if I just leave them alone, then they're going to get, here comes a wolf. A shepherd is going to know what's best and what sheep eat and where the sheep need to be led and what's the enemy of the sheep and the best way to protect them and how are sheep born. Because a shepherd is going to know that sheep are born by the word of God. And Brother Brown was saying, God, the great wisdom and the fountain and resource of all wisdom, would choose such a person as that. He'd say persons rather as that, and bypassed all the well-trained scholars that's trained to know that. The highest heavens hastened to honor earth's most humble and unlearned. The highest of heaven came down to make himself known to the lowest of the earth, bypassing all between to make himself known to common herdsmen, coming to give these common herdsmen the greatest message of all times. Now, what's the greatest message of all times? I believe tonight that we've heard a message straight from heaven, straight from the angel of our age has come to give us a message. And what's the message? To know where Christ is. To reveal Christ to you. And what an honor, I believe, this afternoon it is to know where Christ is. What an honor to be able to carry this message. Carry it, whether you're sitting in the pew or standing up behind the pulpit, you're carrying the message. You're carrying it in your heart. To be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where Christ is today. That God had made himself as lowly as those he would receive. He come down in that little manger to associate himself with those little shepherds, the lowliest of the earth, just covered in the things of the outdoors and all of those things. And so many were bypassed because they couldn't receive it. But God came to your doorstep. Oh, we got so many things to be thankful for as we close out this year. That God would come to your doorstep and bring the greatest message to ever be brought. To know in this day, when after seven church ages, when people probed and wondered at this and wondered at that, but in this day, you can know where God is. Where God is. In Matthew chapter 24, he says, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say, behold, he is in the desert." Oh, he's over there in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So where is God? Where is he at? He's where the word is. Amen. And you've heard the word and you've eaten the word. Amen. And as you hear the word, you become the word. Thank God that we can know but Jesus is telling us when they tell you he's over here. Come on now, listen. He's over in Jeffersonville. He's up. Well, I know he's in a specific geographic location. He's at this specific spot. Don't believe it. Because you know where Jesus is. You know where Christ is. And what a blessing to know where he is. I'm talking about by revelation. Now, you know, real revelation, a real revelation will give you overcoming power. And I'm not talking tonight about just kind of an intellectual understanding where we have enough that we can kind of go to battle with somebody on a YouTube channel or something, or we can go to battle with people on Facebook and we can tell everybody else how much we know and how much we've understand. But real revelation will give you power over the dip. I'm talking about power to live a life. Power to know we're a little overcoming power is to be able to recognize the devil and his tricks. When he comes to you and tells you something that's contrary to what you know, and that's why you must know. You must have confidence, because when the devil comes to tell you some lie that's contrary to what you know, then you can recognize that that's a trap of the devil and say, get thee behind me, Satan, like Jesus told Peter. Because he told Jesus something contrary to what he knew, that he had to go to the cross and die, and Peter said something contrary to that. Anything contrary to the word of God is the Antichrist. Anything contrary to the word of God. And that's why you must know. You must have a personal revelation. Not just head knowledge. Not just head knowledge that's been packed up, but a real packed into your head and packed into your understanding, but a real revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And that's when you know where God is revealed in flesh. And Brother Brown will say, here he comes with the greatest of all the messages. And what was the message? What was the message, Brother Brown will say? Messiah is here now. Oh, you think about a message that everybody out in the world, they don't realize that they're putting it off. They put it off way in the future. One day Jesus is going to come back. One day he's coming back. But to think that he's here now, right here on the Wednesday night service, right here, as you know, the eyes begin to droop and people are wondering how long is Brother Bob going to go, and thinking about maybe the thing that you're going to eat when you get home. And maybe you might be in that stage of your spiritual journey where you're really wishing that you could be watching some movie or something instead of being at church. But even despite all that, God is here now, and you can know where he is. See, Brother Brown said, to make that known where Messiah is, where God is, he bypassed all the trained to make it known to humble shepherds. Somebody that could receive a message. What a strange message. Go to Bethlehem and you'll find a baby in a manger. What? You'd think that they would be in this big cathedral over here. You'd think that I'd have to go to the high priest down in Jerusalem. You'd think I'd have to go to anybody but a little manger in Bethlehem. But it bypassed all the nobles and was revealed to the nobodies. Aren't you glad tonight? Aren't you glad to be a nobody? Notice Brother Brown said where the message was in the most unlikely place that anyone would expect it to come. And I wonder tonight, if we were looking for the true message of the Lord Jesus, I wonder if it would be in an unlikely group. I wonder if that wouldn't be where we'd find him. The most unlikely place and to the most unlikely speakers. The most unlikely place, a little off the road, a little place in the middle of a small town in Lula, where we don't have smoke machines and glass pulpits and coffee shops down in the bottom of the building where people can come and talk and network with all of their friends and people and get past business cards out to network with other people. And it's not in some lodge, not in some big building. And to the most unqualified speakers, people that weren't trained up in seminaries, people that don't know how to speak, they were working their own job and doing their normal thing, trying to have a family, and then God grabbed a hold of their life and said, I want you to speak for me. I want you to share the gospel to other people. And that's the kind of people that God can use, that God can grab a hold of somebody's life, your life and my life, and begin to change them by the word and use them for his purpose. So the things maybe that they thought that they were going to do when they were young, and the things that they thought that would make them happy, God molded them by the word and changed them. So all that they left behind and all that they laid down, and they didn't want it no more. And they just gave everything to God. God. That's the kind of people that God can use. Somebody that will humble themselves to the word and just let God make them a prisoner of his and say, no matter what I do with you, like Paul, if you got to go to Rome and have your head chopped off, or like Bartholomew and be skinned alive, or like Andrew that was crucified in an X, I'm going to do with you what I want to do with you. And they would say, God, thy will be done. Shepherds that know nothing about speaking, only calling sheep. Oh, you think about those early disciples that they didn't know nothing about nothing. Peter couldn't even write his own name, but they knew how to call sheep. Peter's sitting there in that fishing boat, and Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisherman. And that man that didn't know anything more than just how to pull on that rope, he got out of that boat and he followed Jesus, and God began to mold his life so that he could do something with him. The great shepherd was calling. We're not following men, but we're following the great shepherd, the one that's drawing us, the one that's pulling all of us. God is the one that's calling. In John chapter 10, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, thank God that sheep can recognize when it's God calling them. Sheep can recognize. Sheep can recognize good grass. Sheep can recognize when it's the deep calling. They know their shepherd. They know when it's that thing that they've been looking for their whole life, and they hear it calling out to them and they respond, because sheep know their shepherd. The shepherd's call. What is the shepherd's call? He's here. Oh, think about all those people in Brother Branham's campaign. They come there and they see the prayer line start, and they begin to recognize that God is here, that this is different than just a normal little church service. And when you hear the real preaching of the gospel preached across the pulpit, and something begins to echo in your heart and something begins to draw you and pull you, you recognize that it ain't just some man talking to you, that it's God drawing you. And you begin to respond. It's a deep calling to the deep. It's a deep pulling you. It's something more. It's something more than just something natural. It's something supernatural happening. Brother Brown would say the infinite wisdom of Almighty God did it to make known to them the greatest message ever was, that the Messiah is now on earth. He is here. He is here is the confession of every believer. That's what John said in 1 John chapter 4. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now think about that. That's the confession of every believer, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That's the confession, a present tense confession, that Jesus Christ is come. And to know where he is, to know that he's in your flesh, to know that he's been born in the manger of your heart. Oh, what a blessing that is at this time of year to know. Now, I'm preaching as though you know, but if you don't know, let's don't go into another year not knowing. Come on. If you don't know that Christ is born in your heart, if you don't know that it's time to get serious. Yeah. Oh, this weekend we're going to be gathering here for the watch night service, to all gather together and to step over into another year. But let's don't step over into another year without getting real serious before God. No matter where you are at your stage of your journey, let's just set it in your mind, yes, that I want God. I want more of God. And I'm not going to rest until I get him. And I'm not going to rest until I see the promises that are laying here in the Bible that are manifest in my life. Because if you look for him, if you come looking for him and expecting him to come on the scene, then you watch and see if God doesn't manifest himself to you. Man is always praising God. Brother Branham said a religious man for what he done, and always pointing people to what he's doing and then ignoring to what he's going to do and then ignoring what he's doing. But can you see what God is doing now? I wonder if we could ask that question. Can you see what God is doing now? Like when we come to a church on Wednesday night, I don't ever want to get to where it just becomes boring to me. If we get bored by the word, if you get bored by the word, let's set it in our mind that next year I want, like, pray like David did, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you didn't lose your salvation, if you really are got your salvation, you ain't gonna lose it. But maybe you lost the joy of it. And you just kind of begin to, you spent too much time on social media, and you've spent too much time watching movies and things that you know you shouldn't be giving all your time to that. And you just, you hadn't felt the presence of the Lord for a while because you just forsaken your prayer life, and you just got away. It's been a long time since you read the Bible. As we step over into the new year, let's lay all that stuff to the side. Let's lay all that to the side and just get real serious about being a real Christian. I was reading a sermon the other day about just how Brother Ram was saying that you, like a woman, has only got 20 years to have children. And he was saying that how he was making the point that we've only got so many years in our life that we can really make an impact to the family that we have, to other people. Only so many years of life before, you know, your mind begins to deteriorate, your body begins to give out, and then you go down. If things go on, you'll go down into the grave. So let's maximize the time, redeem the time, give everything that we can to God. I was reading where Brother Branham said, he said, I've won a million souls to God, but why not 2 million is what he said. Why not 2 million? There he was laying there when he went beyond the curtain of time, laying there, and he was thinking before he passed, before he had that experience, it was thinking about how much more he could have done for God. Now, you think about a man like that, that would have that kind of a confession. Think about, I wish I had done so much more for God when he had given everything in his life. And just where people were wondering, Brother Branham, how can you stand? He'd stand up behind the pulpit and say, I almost fainted 10 times while I was answering these questions. And he gave everything, and yet we can barely give anything. We can barely give any time to read or pray or study. We hardly know what the message is about because we can't get into the message and find out for ourselves. But Lord, let's don't go into another year like that, but let's really give everything that we've got, because God wants a nobody, a nothing that he can do something with, somebody that he can get a hold of. He wants somebody like Gideon that thought they couldn't do it, somebody like Ruth that had a bad background, somebody like Elijah that just come out of nowhere, somebody like John that come out of the wilderness. Because God takes the nothings. He takes the nothings to do the something with. And as long as we think we're somethings, then we can't be used in the hand of God. We must forsake all we ever knew or learned to go after Jesus. Look to the Word if all else is contrary. That's what the Magi were doing. They were looking. They knew some one of these days a promise is coming. But we're not looking for one of these days anymore, are we? Oh, that's what the message is, that Christ is here. Brother Branham will say, when God says he'll do a thing, he did it, regardless of what anybody else thinks about it, what anybody says. When he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive, that might have been hard to imagine that a little virgin was going to conceive and bear a child, but it came to pass. When he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, that seemed hard to imagine that one day that would be fulfilled, but then God brought it to pass. And when God told Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It would be hard to imagine that one of these days, one day that would be fulfilled and the Messiah would be standing there. Think about all those things that were laying there for the Pharisees and the Jews to read, that God actually gave them the timeline of when the Messiah would be standing there. Still, they couldn't see it. And he's given so many people in the world a timeline of exactly what to look for, and yet they couldn't see it. But yet, the Messiah, the Magi were looking. Never stop expecting for God to fulfill his word. Don't ever stop expecting to see God fulfill his word. Oh, we come to church day after, or week after week, Sunday, Wednesday after year, and it might kind of get boring to you. It might kind of get wearisome to you, but don't ever. Now, Don't draw back on me now. Please don't draw back. I'm telling you something real tonight. Right. Don't ever stop expecting for God to fulfill his word. Oh, if you need some, I was reading one place where Brother Ram said, when we have a need in our life, it seems like the first place we go is to the doctor. The first place we go is to somebody else. But if you, when you've got a real need, when something happens, maybe you break your arm or something goes wrong in your body, run to Jesus. Because why? Because never stop expecting to see a miracle. Never stop expecting to see God do something. And that's what the Magi were doing night after night. They look up in the sky. Look up at the sky continuously, basing their faith on what they had heard Daniel say when Daniel was down in the Middle East years and years and years before that. But yet they kept looking because they knew that the Messiah was coming. Why? Because it said in Daniel 9:24, it actually laid it out, the timeline. Said the Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And after that time period, after that, he's coming. So the Magi were looking. These wise men know that there will be a star of Jacob rise, and they were looking for it. And the star led them straight up to Jerusalem, where you'd think everybody would know what they were looking for, up and down the streets. Where is he that's born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east. And after 2 years, 2 years of those shepherds preaching a message, we know where he is. We know where you can find him. That great religious capital still didn't have the answer or know nothing about it. I think about that. After all these years of the greatest message to be ever preached has been preached around the world, and all these denominational systems don't know nothing about where you can find Christ. Where are you going to find the Son of Man? But shepherds had the answer. Shepherds that a lot of people, and I'll be closing in just a minute. I'm not going to go long tonight. Shepherds that most of the world just look down on. Shepherds that maybe people in the church think, well, they just don't even like me. Every time they preach, all they got to do is they got to meddle in people's business and preach on stuff that I wish they wouldn't preach on. But shepherds had the answer. It was shepherds. What a strange thing that God was setting up his pattern so you'd come to church. All the sheep that want to be sociable would come to church and hear a shepherd, a little lowly person that has no background, no credentials. Why? Because shepherds were happy. They were at ease with where Christ was born in that manger. Right amongst all of the bleating of the lambs and all the cows and the mooing and all the dirty things. They were fine. They were comfortable. Shepherds are comfortable. God knows where to send his message. God knows who's going to be comfortable with it. What an honor, how fitting it is to a shepherd to receive a message of a newborn sheep. It could come to nothing else but a shepherd. The shepherds heard that the Messiah was on earth and came into his presence right in their own environment and found the message to be true, was vindicated there. How that must have made those men feel to find that God had done this great thing for them. Now, that's the confession of any real sheep, to how great it is to recognize what God has done for you. That he bypassed all the religious world. He bypassed all these great religious writers. You could think about this, that you could go in the bookstore and pull off the book, off the shelves, all these great books that great theologians have written, but God bypassed them to give it to you because you would receive it. He'd give it to you. Some of them might not have even been able to sign their own name, but he called them and gave it to them. Poor, humble shepherds that had no education with a message. What was their message? I can prove it to you that this is the baby. This is the messenger. Now, that's quite a statement in it. And that is why this is not just kind of an intellectual affair. A real revelation comes with power. I'm talking about power to demonstrate the gospel, power to make this word live. And that is what the shepherd's message was. Power to talk about a living God. They didn't go to that down to Bethlehem to see just a little dead baby laying in the manger or just like a book laying in the manger, but they went to see a living Christ, a living baby that would open his mouth and cry, a living baby that did baby things. Amen. A living baby. That's what this message is. A living word. It's got to be alive. It's got to be alive in you and I. I was reading it. I was going back and reading all these quotes where Brother Ram said the evidence of the new birth is not just knowing things. That's part of it, but it's got to be alive in you. You have got to see something change in your life. You've got to see something happen in you. And when it happens in you, then you've got something that you can share with the world. That's what those shepherds were testifying of, that Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive. He's here today. Shepherds praising God, going around telling everybody that God is alive, that he's still a present tense God. Brother Bram said it's so simple. That's how the wise overlooks it. It's so simple it confounds them. They look for a God way out there when he's right here. When he's right here. Right here in this building tonight. Right here where we overlook. They're looking for something way yonder when it's right here with them now. Christ risen from the dead. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God that we know what to do with the word. Brother Ram said they were the only kind that would accept him. They knowed how to take care of it. And so is it today when we get the Lamb's message. And we'll close on this. We're going to close a little bit earlier tonight. That thank God that we know what to do. What do we do with it? As the musicians come forward, receive it, believe it, amen. Respond, and praise God about it. Amen. You know, when that's why those angels were singing, because there's always singing at a birth. There's always singing when God, well, I'm talking about praise. When God does something for you, you might be in your shower, you might be in your beside your bed at night, but when God does something for you, you ain't going to be able to help but respond. God wants somebody to just receive him and believe his word. You love the Lord tonight? Let's stand. Let's stand and sing and worship the Lord for a little bit. Still here drawing. Thank God that it's not by man, but we have a God that's drawing us and calling us to him. Brother Ram said he just wants to get somebody that he could mold them into where he could do something with them. Now what a thing that God can take somebody that is contrary to him and draw them to himself and make them to where he can do something with them. Make them to where he can use them to preach the gospel or witness to somebody at work or give a word of encouragement. You know, Paul told us that there's a lot of gifts in the body. There's gifts of helps.
There's gifts of ministries. There's gifts of all kinds of things. Maybe in the parking lot, there's a gift. Somebody walk up to you and tell you something encouraging. And that's what God is doing to our lives as he grabs a hold of us and begins to change us to be like him. How could we doubt that he is here? He's here in us. Behind badger skins. Amen. He's here in us. You love him tonight, church? Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll just be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful to you, Lord God, for the word that you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with all the different saints that couldn't be here tonight, Lord. Be with Brother Luis and Brother Eric, Lord, as he's trying to come to Atlanta. And God, I pray that you'll move on the scene for that situation, Lord, and grant it, Lord, that you'll guide our brother to a flight to get him, Lord, where he won't have to spend the night in the airport. Lord, I pray you'll be with Brother Wade, Lord Jesus. I pray you'll bless him, Lord Jesus, with a deer, whatever he's looking for up there, Lord Jesus, that you'll guide him, Lord. Be with all of us, Lord, as we go our separate ways, Lord, that you'll guide us and keep us on the road, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we coming up to the threshold of another year, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just let everyone be so consecrated to you in the new year, Lord. Lay down all these weights that so easily beset us, Lord Jesus. Lord, get rid of all these little foxes, Lord, that spoil the vine. And help us, Lord, to be so dedicated to you, Lord, because that's what it's going to take to step over from the natural to the supernatural. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with us all, Lord. Be with your saints now as they go their ways, Lord. We ask in your name. Amen. God bless you.